Tonight, I'd like to invite you back over to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him." So we know exactly what we're talking about now, and that's, of course, talking about being together with the Lord, "that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time that we have to gather in your house, and Lord, to call upon you and ask you to bless your word this evening, that ultimately, Lord, you would be glorified in the work that you're doing in our lives and that you want to do here at Northwood Baptist Church. We pray for your blessings. We thank you for each one, Lord, here tonight that's turned aside from all the things that we need to take care of in this life to come and to worship you. And again, Lord, may you be glorified and each one be blessed for being in your house. And we'll thank you, Lord, and give you the praise. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is "Not Shaken or Troubled." Amen? That's where God wants every one of His children. He doesn't want us to be shaken or troubled. Not that we won't have troubles, but that we won't be troubled in those troubles. Does that make sense? We're going to have trials and we're going to have challenges and different things will come into our life. But because we understand that we're in the hand of God, He's going to carry us through those things, and so therefore we won't be shaken in our faith, and we won't be troubled in our own hearts and minds. And so God wants that for every child of God. So when the next problem comes, as Brother Tom mentioned here this morning in Sunday school, that's the life of a believer, right? We've either just come out of a trouble, we're in one, or we're getting ready to go in one, right? So the next time we get troubled, and this is including me, all right? So this message is for all of us. I'm reminding myself too, Lord, I'm in your hands. You're going to get me through this. One way or the other, you're going to carry me through this. So we don't want to approach a trial or some kind of a difficulty with, now what am I going to do? Don't confess to that. Have you ever thought about that? What am I going to do now? How am I going to handle, how am I going to get through this? And so that's our natural tendency, and I cannot tell you how many times I may have said that, but you know, the Lord wants us to put our confidence in Him, and that takes reprogramming. That takes God's work in our hearts and minds to say, when I approach this, and so this is the reminder, so when something happens, we say, Lord, I know, I don't know how, but I know you're going to get me through this difficulty. So again, we want to be in this place where we're not shaken or troubled. So what is it that brings us to the place where we are not shaken or troubled? How do we get there? Well, we need to understand, first of all, that we can't take ourselves to this place where we're not shaken or troubled. It is God that must bring us to that place. Amen? And so with that thought in mind, I want to look at a couple of different things that are happening here and these events that are taking place. And this is the way the Lord's laying them out, and He's saying what's going to take place. Now, I'm going to tell you, as best as I see it, how things are going to happen, according to the Word of God, not from my own little mind, okay? I can't do that. But I'm going to use the Word of God, and we're going to look at some events here that God has told us and revealed to us through His Word, how they're going to transpire, how they're going to take place. But I am convinced of this one truth. May I show you something very quickly? Hold your place. Well, I'll just read it. You can go over there if you want to. But in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and I've referenced to this before, even this morning, I think, Acts chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, Ye men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." But then he says this in verse 16, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." He said in the end days, he said that the people were going to get visions, they were going to get dreams.
But he never spoke about tongues. He never spoke about all the other things, the things that were taking place. And so Peter says, this is that in verse 16. And what he's saying is, this is just like that. It's not exactly that, but this is that. What was that? It was the working of God that was taking place. With that said, I want to tell you this. When we see the Word of God being fulfilled, I am completely convinced that there won't be a doubt in the mind of the child of God that is walking with the Lord and seeking the Lord. And I'm not talking about sinless perfection, all right? I'm not talking about our performance. I'm talking about us just being saved, loving the Lord, coming to His house to hear His Word, opening up the Word of God, seeking the Lord in our own personal lives for Him to have His way. You're going to know when these things take place, we'll be able to say, oh, this is exactly what the Lord was talking about. Okay, so let's go back over to our text in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then I want you to see some things that he says here that we need to be aware of. And the first thing is, we need to realize that deception is rampant. How many of you figured this out? Not everything you hear is the truth. Have you figured that one out? Have you figured it out a little bit more than you did before? Is it a little bit more prevalent now? And oh my goodness, does everybody want to say something about everything? Amen? And a lot of it is not the truth. Where can we go for the truth? The Word of God, amen? All right, so look in verse 2. It says, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, and that's lowercase, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. People were actually writing letters, and they thought, is this coming from Paul? That the day of Christ is at hand. Verse 3, he says, let no man what? Deceive you. So deception is rampant, and we need to realize that. And so he's warning us. If he's saying, let no man deceive you, should we be concerned about being deceived? Not everybody who says who they are is really who they are. In other words, you know, be careful. Oh, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm a Christian. Listen, it may be that they're not. It may be they have a misunderstanding. How is it that you know that somebody is saved? Well, first of all, they'll tell you about grace, right? Because that's how. If they don't tell you about grace, you think there might be something wrong. They'll tell you that Jesus Christ holds them in their hands. They'll tell you it's a work of God, and they'll tell you that He is changing my life. And then another thing is he'll say, look, our sins separate us, and God has saved us from our sins. And so when God saves us, does He leave us just like we are? Or does He change us? If He's working in our lives, He's changing us, right? Is it possible to be backslidden? Yeah, but it should not be comfortable for the believer. It should not be, oh, listen, you know, oh, there's no man that sinneth not. That's very comfortable for me. Oh, no, it ought to be a bed of nails. Amen. How many of you would like to go home and sleep on a mattress of nails? Nobody would like to do that. And in fact, that's an oddity, isn't it? That somebody can do that. That used to be in the circuses or something, that, you know, that was some kind of a strange feat that somebody would be comfortable or be able to lay on a bed of nails. And so when we hear the Word of God say that there's no man that sinneth not, it's not comfortable. It ought to bother us, because God saved us to make us a people after Him. All right. So he says this, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, the day of the Lord Jesus Christ that they were concerned about, that they were ordered, that they were bothered by and concerned about. And now we're going to move over here, even in chapter 3 here, we realize that there's a deception that's rampant. But then I want you to see an order of events here that he talks about here. Ready? For that day, in verse 3, shall not come except there come what? A falling away first. And then the second thing is, and that man of sin be revealed. And then it titles him the son of perdition. Isn't that amazing? The son of perdition. The devil imitates God. Right? So God has a son. Well, there's a son of perdition mentioned here. There's going to be in the end day the Antichrist and the false prophet. And so we're not going to get into that tonight, but we're going to look at what the Word is telling us here tonight. And it says, be careful that you don't let anybody deceive you, because that day when it comes, there's going to become an apostasy. In other words, people that were into the truth for whatever, not saved, probably not saved, they're going to turn away from the truth. They're going to turn away from the truth. And this is now, look, I'm just going to tell you, this is my idea. I might miss it completely here. But I'm going to tell you, here's what I think is going to happen. Ready? It's not going to be popular to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is what I mean by that. And adhere to the Word of God. In other words, the Word of God is my rule. If the Bible calls a sin, that we say, yes, that is a sin. That is not a choice. It's not okay in the eyes of God. Whatever the Bible says. So we're talking about believing in the Word of God. That kind of Christianity, which is really the only true Christianity. Listen, it's okay if I have a shortcoming or if I have a failure and so for example, the Bible says that we're to be kind one to another, that we're to be gentle. And if I have a difficulty with being kind and gentle, I'm not going to excuse that and say, well, that's just me. No, that's just wrong. God says that I'm to be like Him, and He is easily to be entreated. And He is long-suffering, kind, gentle. We call these the fruits of the Spirit. And so what I realize, remember, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And so what I need to realize is if I'm not gentle and kind, it's not all right. It's that the Spirit of Christ is not bearing fruit in my life. So I need to bring myself or call, ask God to take me over to where He wants me to be and walking in His way, not the way that I think. Do you follow me? This is important. Why is this important? Because I think that's going to be the differentiating factor amongst believers. There are some people that say, well, whatever it is that God calls sin, well, that's just the way God made me. Tell me one place in the Bible that God gives that to us for an excuse. That's just the way that I am. Well, listen, if it's not the way that God says He's going to make us, then there's a problem. So there's going to be a group of people that are saying, look, I don't want to settle for anything less than God, than the promises that God has given to me, that I might walk in those things. There might be another group that says, oh, it doesn't matter. You don't have to do a single thing that God has told you to do, and you'll be all right in the eyes of God. You think that might really happen? I'm talking about God. People will say, oh, sure. By golly, just come as you are and stay as you are and just go ahead and doesn't matter. Just, pick up a songbook and go do something for God. Well, if God says we're walking in sin, does He use a vessel that's not clean? Can it be a vessel unto honor? So now listen, these are things that we have to consider in our own personal lives. Now listen, we can look to one extreme or the other, but we need to look to everything that God says a believer ought to be. And if that is not in us, and we all have areas that we need work in, and that God, we want to call God to do that work in our lives, that we might walk truly in liberty and freedom to be a testimony. God is changing my life. Can we say amen to that? God should be changing our lives to be conformed or transformed to His likeness. So this is what we are looking for in the life of the believer. Now, it may come that there's a certain group of us. I pray that Northwood Baptist Church, and it is a church that says, I want to adhere to the Word of God. So if you're not willing to adhere to the Word of God, you're not right with the Lord. You're not right with the Lord. there may be a group that says, if we hold that position, we're not kind people. Now, if that happens, they may say, I don't want to be part of Northwood Baptist Church because they have all these rules. Oh no, listen, we don't have any rule. The rule is that we love God, and if we love God, he says, we'll obey him. That's what he said. I didn't say that. And you know what? I want to love God. And I know I cannot obey him without the Holy Spirit that he's indwelt me. But praise God that he's given me the Holy Spirit so that I can obey him. I want to be pleasing, not in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of my God. And as we seek to please God, we will be the light of the love of God to the world, to help them now all of a sudden, we're different. Now all of a sudden, the world looks at us and says, you know, I see a difference in you. I mean, my goodness, when something goes wrong in your life, you don't just lay out a whole bunch of bad words and cuss everybody out and throw things. But listen, you don't throw a temper tantrum. Ever seen anybody, any kids throw a temper tantrum in public? And then all of a sudden, listen, the parents don't do anything. They jump up and down. They're wanting something and they're crying for something. Oh, okay. Here you go. And then all of a sudden, you see another family where the kids aren't asking for things and they're not throwing temper tantrums. Do you think maybe that parents that have unruly children look at that and say, why can't my kids be like that? You think maybe they might say that? Absolutely. And in fact, if they see that, they might have the gumption because they're tired, say, how do you do that? And then we can give them an answer for the hope that lies within us. Our God. Not our rules. Our God. We've pointed our children to the Lord to help them to realize the greatest possession that we can have is the love of God. Amen? And so we want to walk in that. That ought to be our prize. And so when we look to what God is saying, he's saying, listen, there's going to be something that's going to be coming down the line, and you can't walk with the world because, listen, if the world hated our master, it's going to hate us. That Jesus said that. I'm not making that up. And it's not that's not a badge of honor that we're seeking. We're going to reach out with the truth. We're going to reach out with the love. Why? Because it was the truth that redeemed us. It was the truth that gave us eternal life. It was the truth that gives us hope each and every day. And it is the truth that leads us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't want to tell them, oh, listen, it does matter. Or God wouldn't have put it in his word. And so we need to really be careful that we don't allow ourselves to deceive us, the flesh, the world, or the devil, that walking with the Lord and seeking God's righteousness is not a good thing. It is. It's the best thing for the life of a believer. Listen, it's the best thing for the lost world to be able to see the grace of God in our lives. All right. Notice what he says. He says, I want you to see the order of things. First, there's a falling away. And I suspect, that's all it is. Can I give you my suspicion? I could be wrong in this. It's going to be a mark. Now listen, once people get a hold of the truth, if they don't like it, they leave. But that's just here and there. But I think we might be on the horizon, possibly, of watching a whole lot of people not wanting to be part of certain kinds of churches that adhere to the Word of God. Listen, here's a problem. And listen, there are three kinds of messages that people preach, supposedly from the Word of God. The first one is an expository word, a preaching, like we're doing here. We're just taking a portion of Scripture and we're opening it up. The second is a textual, and we'll have a text and we'll use other scriptures, and this kind of borders on that, but we use other supporting scriptures that agree with the text that we're involved in. The third one that I was always taught, and it is, it has the potential. It's not that it's wrong, but it has the greatest potential to be wrong. And that is a topical message. I'm going to talk about a subject, and then I'm going to use Scripture to prove my point. Do you see the problem with that? It may not be exact. God may not even be dealing with that. But we're trying to bring things. See here. Ready? You're not to judge. You're not to judge. No. That was misread. Listen. We make judgment calls every day. And the judging is that make sure that your life is right, that the beam is out of your eye before you try to pick the speck out of your brother's eye. Before you go, make sure that your life is in tune with the Lord before you go to try to help out a brother or sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. But God never said, you read that very carefully in Matthew chapter 7, and God is not saying not to judge. We have to judge between right and wrong every day. What we do and what we don't do. Those are judgment calls. God's never said, but see, people will say, oh, you're not, judge not. Well, there's more than just those two words in that verse. And there's more meaning of what Jesus was talking about in that whole chapter. So before you just hang, you know, your topic or your scapegoat on two words, make sure you read the context. As some say, context is what? King. Because if you take things out of context, you're going to be in trouble. And more importantly, we'll be in trouble with the Lord. We don't want to do that. All right, so notice what he says here very quickly. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And then he says, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, let me just tell you something that I don't know. I don't know what kind of a time interval there is. I don't know that. And to be honest with you, I don't know what that falling away is going to look like. I told you it was just my suspicion that it's going to be a big exodus. I think it's going to be at least clear for you and I that are here tonight and that seek the Lord that we will say, oh, this is what he was talking about. There's that falling away. And surely the believers that will be left on earth will see the man of sin. And they'll know who he is. They'll know that. Some will be following him, and then there'll be those that will be martyred for his cause. I believe personally that the church will be raptured before the tribulation period begins, because the Bible says that the children of God are not appointed unto the wrath of God, and that will be the time of God's wrath. All right? So let's look at this son of perdition. Let's look a little bit about what he's about. Look at verse 4. Who opposeth, this is the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Why is God, he's letting us know who he is. Or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So he's telling you where he's going to be. This is where we understand he's going to be in the temple of God. And then notice what he says here. He said, verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. So he's wanting them to understand what this is all about. Now, again, I really think we will be gone, if I understand correctly, when this takes place. We might be here for the falling away. I don't know. All right. Then I want you to see here the withholder. This is a good thing. What is it that is keeping this all together? Amen, right? Aren't you glad it's not in the hands of human beings? It would have fallen apart a long time ago. All right, let's see let's look at the glue. Amen, the withholder that holds everything together. Look at verse 6. And now ye know, and you know, don't you, what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. It's not time yet. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's already at work. Only he, so it's a person, it's a he, who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And that's no doubt the Holy Spirit. Well, how will he be taken out of the way? Well, God is not ever completely gone. But when the rapture takes place, the Holy Spirit that's in you and I will be less prevalent on earth, won't it? He'll be taken out of the way, and then what happens then? I'm glad you asked. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed. And that's again why I believe that when the Holy Spirit, when the church is gone, the Antichrist will be revealed. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume. And this is giving you, telling you what's going to happen to him, and he knows it too. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. The world's going to be deceived. And so this is the working of Satan right here. And then notice what Satan is going to continue to do. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. This is the group that said, oh, just live like the devil. It doesn't matter. Just make a profession in God and that's all. Just live like the devil and call more people to follow. That's the easy road. That's the broad road. That says, oh, just eat, drink, and be merry, and God doesn't care. It's all right. You'll never find that in the Word of God. And so it says, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So ready? What's going to happen is when the man of sin comes on, literally, I'm convinced, it's going to be hell on earth. I mean, the influence of the devil and of hell is going to run rampant on planet Earth and in the hearts and minds of the people on Earth at that particular time. And so God says, I want you to understand what I'm going to be doing, and we're going to see God's work of delusion here. We see the working of Satan, what that's all about, and that's going to be rampant. I mean, things people are going to be doing, and they already are to a certain degree. I don't think it's anything like it's going to be. And here's the thing, listen. I don't know, somebody said this years ago, that if God doesn't, and by the way, they said this many years ago, if God doesn't judge America, America's going to owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology for their sin. Because we have surpassed, people say that, we have surpassed Sodom and Gomorrah. Here's the problem with that, nobody's ever seen Sodom and Gomorrah. But here's the truth now, this was said I think sometime in the 60s or 70s. By a well-known evangelist. I think it was Billy Graham that said that. And here's the thing. We're worse today than we've ever been as far as the Word of God is concerned. We've drifted further away. We are in rebellion as a society to the Word of God. Now, there's a lot of people that would say what I'm saying right now is unkind. No, listen. I don't know there's a problem unless somebody tells me. And so it is the goodness of God that tells us that is not the way you... That is wrong. That is wrong. There is right and there is wrong. And God says it's not like this idea that, well, that's just kind of gray. You ever heard people say that? Just kind of, it's all right. Well, the Bible says they'll hand join in hand, you know, when you make a handshake. I don't think people are doing that very much anyway. Well, today. But when the elbow... But when though hand join in hand, the Bible says, yet will their sin not be unpunished. In other words, listen, that you can make backroom deals. We're going to okay this. God says, oh no. You can think that's going to do something. You will stand before me one day. Now, I don't wish that. I am thankful for the righteousness of God. I am thankful for that. Without that, where would we be? Well, the world's going to find out one day when the righteous of God are going to be pulled out, and then they're going to have their way, and they're going to realize it's not a good thing. All right. So notice this: what happened? Now we're going to see God's work of delusion, and for this cause, remember in verse 10, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. At the bottom there, verse 10. Then verse 11, and for this cause, remember that word and is a conjunction, it's joining another thought, it's not finished, and for this cause, because they love not, or they receive not the love of the truth, and for this cause God shall send them not just a delusion, but a strong delusion. And what's that going to do? That they should believe a lie. They're going to believe the lie. They're going to believe it as the truth. And that's because they rejected. Listen, they're going to believe the lie wholeheartedly and fight for it. And it's going to be a lie. It's going to be the devil's lie. Notice verse 12, that they all might be damned. God's going to allow them to do that. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. We do the world a favor to share the truth with them. If not, their blood is going to be on our hands. Why didn't you tell me? Well, may that not be said about you and I. We did tell you. You made a choice, and it was an awful choice, to reject the love of God and to live your life according to the dictates of your mind and to believe the lie that you had that right to do that. Oh, no. This world has the stamp of God's creation on it. Romans 1 bears that out, that when they knew the truth, they didn't adhere to it, and therefore they were given over to a reprobate mind, a reprobate heart. Now, on this side, there's still hope. Pray for God's mercy and grace in the life of everybody you know that's lost, and that might even be adamantly against God. May I tell you something? Paul was adamantly against the church. He said he wasted it. He couldn't wait. He was going to Damascus with a mission. And God stopped him dead in his tracks and turned him around. Can God do that today? Is he not the same yesterday, today, and forever? All right. With that said, and we'll finish up here, the last thought is, so we see, what did we see? We realized the deception is rampant today. We saw the order of events, a falling away first, and the man of sin revealed. We looked into the son of perdition in verses 4 and 5. We saw the withholder, that's the Holy Spirit, in verse 6, 7, and 8. We saw the working of Satan, who is going to work all kinds of deceivable wonders that people are going to believe. We saw God's work of delusion. And now let's look at something that's still at work, and that's God's work in us. Ready? Watch this. Look at verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Isn't that good? Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. Now, is that word Spirit capitalized? Oh my goodness, there's that Holy Spirit again. Praise God that He's there. Amen? That is the key. Set your mind at ease. It's God's work. That was the purpose of the Holy Spirit. We need to be real confident. God, make me confident in your work that you're doing in me. So notice this, because God hath from the beginning chosen you there in verse 13 to salvation through sanctification. That is a work of God, setting us apart of the Spirit. It's a work of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Did I just not say, God, help me to believe that? So that's okay, right? That's what he's saying. And belief of the truth. God, help me to believe that more and more every day. Verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Did he call you by the gospel of Paul? Paul's a writer of this, by the way. All right, technically the Holy Spirit in Paul. All right. So, have you been called by the gospel that is right here in the Word of God? Absolutely. To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Obtaining. Remember, attaining is something I have achieved. Obtaining is something that's been given. So understand that we are to obtain the glory of our Lord. What that means is the glory of the Lord. God wants to give that to us. Verse 15. Therefore, brethren. Now remember, every time you see a therefore, you've got to pause for a moment, see why it's therefore. Because God's giving us his glory. All right, and so because of that, therefore, brethren, stand fast. Unmovable is what that is implying. And hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word, that's tonight, you're hearing the preaching of the word, or by our epistle, even better, by the word of God. Amen? Okay. Verse 16, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, is that true tonight in your life? Our Lord Jesus Christ, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting, that's forever, isn't it? Everlasting consolation. That means encouragement. That means I want you to know. So listen, you've heard of a consolation prize. Remember, when little kids, they get a consolation prize. You didn't win the first trophy, but we don't want you to go away feeling sad, so we're going to give you a little. Well, listen, with God, it's a big thing. Because it consoles us. It comforts us. So we've won first prize with the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's a consoling gift that encourages us. So notice this again as we look at this. Verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation. Isn't that good? It never ends. Comfort. And good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you. That means you're established, right? That means you're not moving. We talk about putting a fruit tree down. It's not established yet. The roots aren't really taken. But when it's established, and when you think of a fruit tree that's established, if it's an apple tree, it's bearing apples. It's working. All right. Comfort your hearts and establish you. And by the way, who's doing this? Jesus Christ and our God. Comfort your hearts and establish you in some good works. No, in every good word and work. Who's doing that? God's doing that. Doesn't that take a load off? See, all this time we thought we had to do it. And then we wondered why we're failing. Well, because God never expected us to do it. Because he's the workman. We're just the recipients of it. Amen? You look at, there are two kinds of believers. Two kinds of believers. And I'm going to wrap this up. I know I said that before, didn't I? Anyway. There is Isaac and there's Jacob. Isaac and Jacob. Isaac, you ever think about Isaac? What did he do to get what he got? What did he do? Not a thing. Did he haggle for his wife? Did he make any deals? No, his father sent out for it. He didn't even know what she was going to look like. He was all right with that. Amen? How about all of his wealth? Did he work hard for that? It was given to him by Abraham. Given to him. Now you got Jacob. Man, he was wheeling and dealing. He just didn't trust. He already said that it was going to be the younger that was going to be over the older. But he had to try to work something out with his mom to get the birthright. Oh no, it was going to be his already. And then he thought, boy, you know, I mean, the master trickster made a deal for his wife. And he got the surprise, didn't he? Wasn't what he thought. Every time we try to work things for ourselves, it will never be what we thought. Do you know why God does not want us to do it that way? Because if it works out well, who will we thank? God or ourselves? Do you see the problem with that? Now, wait a minute. I want you to know this. Jacob was Israel, became Israel. He was a child of God. But he finagled for everything he got instead of rested. We've got that choice too. Jesus says, I will bring you in if you'll just follow me. Or you can just try to finagle it yourself. And he said, I won't bless it. You're still mine. Oh, and I believe he'll bless. I think he's merciful, God. He's merciful because he loves us. But I don't think we'll have it completely the way he wants us to have it. We're still his. But we can either just trust the Lord that he's given it and walk in that. Or we can wrestle with God. And God says, why? When I've already done all the work and made you a joint heir. Isn't that amazing? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. And Lord, we thank you that we can stand assured, Lord, in the promises you've given to us. Lord, I pray that you instill in our hearts and minds that, Lord, it is your grace, your power, and, Lord, your will to make us vessels for your honor and glory. We're already the recipients because of salvation. Bring to light and understanding the truths that these things are already ours. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to see that we might walk in your grace that you've already given, that we don't have to try in our own effort and our own way of trying to be pleasing in your sight. You've done that all because of your Son. And you want us to see how much we need you, that you might bear fruit in our lives. It's your work, your fruit, Lord, not ours, your vineyard. And I pray, Lord, that you would instill that in the hearts of each and every one of your people here tonight, and those who are unable to be here, that we might stand confident, Lord, because of you. Bless the invitation, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.